It's time for Health Check with Heidi Godman, a daily dose of health and wellness information. Call or text Heidi your questions at 373-1220. That's 373-1220. And now here's Heidi Godman.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Health Check. I'm Heidi Godman. Hope you're doing well on this glorious, glorious Friday afternoon. Isn't it so pretty outside? After all that rain this week, now we have this gorgeous sunshine, and we are talking about a beautiful future when it comes to pain management. So if you're struggling with chronic pain, you might think that, you know, there's just nothing else you could do. You've tried everything. But think again, because there are plenty of options now out there for pain management. Some of them are really kind of unusual. You've never heard of them. Some of them are super high tech. And I was, in fact, speaking with a family member of mine not too long ago, and she was saying, well, you know, my arthritis, there's just nothing you could do. And I started rattling off all these crazy things, you know, like a poisonous sea snail venom might work, or you can flip on or flip off a nerve, all these really interesting things. And she had no idea that that existed. So maybe pain management is the answer for you. Also, what is new in pain management? We are about to find out. My guest is from Sarasota Memorial Hospital. Dr. Eugene Pereira is a pain management specialist. Welcome back to the program.
Always a pleasure to be here, Heidi.
So I want to get this out right at the top because it's so important. We are both alums of West Virginia University. You went to medical school there?
Yes.
Yes. And so I'm an undergraduate from West Virginia University. And we've got to promote West Virginia University at all opportunities. So there we go. There's that. But we also want to talk about pain management today. And that's your specialty. Why pain management? What drew you to that?
So it's interesting you ask that. I was aspiring towards doing something with my hands in the field of medicine. And to clarify, I did my residency and fellowship at Morgantown.
Okay. Where did you do your medical degree? Where did you get that?
I went to a medical school in India.
In India. Yeah. Okay. All right. So residency and fellowship.
Yes.
Which is residency is part of the training, and yes, you don't have to do a fellowship, but to specialize even further, then that's what you do. What was the residency in, and what about the fellowship?
Right. The residency was in anesthesiology, and that's pretty hands-on by itself. But like my faculty would say that they would compare it to a flight and an airplane flight. So the important parts were takeoff and landing, and in between one would be cruising and on autopilot, if you will. I don't want to scare anyone who's undergoing surgery that they're going to be on autopilot, but
no,
there's someone always there. But I kind of got a little bored.
You wanted more.
Yeah.
You wanted loop de loops.
Right, with the tedium of anesthesia. So I wanted to look at the next most hands-on, high adrenaline thing. And so I was looking at critical care, but it was wrapped in so much paperwork that kind of threw me off. I didn't have a doctor's handwriting to write pages of paperwork. There was no electronic medical record at that time. So pain management at that time was just a budding and blossoming subspecialty that was growing under the tutelage of anesthesiology, later on opened up to physiatry and neurology and other specialties. But that seemed appealing to me because it involved understanding the human body and the connections and the anatomy, and placing needles to place chemicals to block transmission of pain sensations and stimuli. And so that's how I ended up in pain management.
And so that you really were involved in it at the forefront of this subspecialty. I mean, it seems like what, the late 90s, early 2000s, when I started hearing about it as a medical reporter.
Absolutely. Pain management, from my tongue-in-cheek anecdotal experience, began, I believe, when someone who had surgery the week prior and was still having pain, and the surgeon was discussing it with the anesthesiologist in the operating room and saying, hey, I got this patient I operated on at their back and it's not really helping them. Can you give them a block? And the anesthesiologist, eager to oblige, would say, sure. Bring them to the recovery area, and kind of in a like broom closet setting, people were given epidural steroid injections and nerve blocks without any imaging at that time, just by feel and position.
I cannot imagine that.
Yeah, well, in perspective, ladies who are having babies still get the epidural catheters hunched over a pillow.
Well, okay, I got you there because I had three. So yes, I do understand that. Okay, so
and from there, it kind of evolved and it became sophisticated and scientific and humane, and people started looking into why things were the way they were and how things could be improved on. And so now we have whole pain suites with, you know, x-rays and fluoroscopy and ultrasound, and the radiologists who are trained use CT scan guided procedures also.
And Sarasota Memorial Hospital has a number of pain management locations. Tell us about those.
Right. So right now there are four places servicing the chronic pain needs of the community. Right up in the north at Heritage Harbor in Manatee County, across the hospital, across from the hospital, one by the HealthFit facility on Clark Road, and as far south as Blackburn Point in Osprey.
All right. So a lot of different places where you can. And for people who are thinking, oh, you know, pain management, that sounds like voodoo medicine. This is not. This is part of allopathic medicine. These are trained physicians who are providing this and studying this too.
Yes. Traditionally, pain management was the realm of anyone who cared to practice it. And so everyone who felt altruistically and compassionately about their patient's needs tried to, with the best of their understanding and knowledge, give them some medications, which are still being used to some extent off-label from what they were introduced for in the market to help with painful conditions. It's only recently that pain was understood to be such a complex issue that it involved depression, insomnia, loss of function, and other pleasurable activities, that it became a major monster, if you will, that required management of every aspect of its condition. Traditionally, also, pain management was a place where patients with conditions that did not get treated went away to retire or hide, if you will, under the fog of opioids and pills that made them forget how unhappy they were in their situation in life. So that has kind of taken over the mainstream, and we see now the nightmare of opioid overuse and misuse. But there is a steady stream of consciousness that realizes that well-applied, properly selected interventions for each patient, tailor-made to their condition, can actually improve their functionality, give them a brighter outlook, and let them function with some reduction in their pain.
Sure. And as you're saying, opioids have been sort of, initially, they were sort of the only choice. I mean, we didn't have really anything else. Now we have so many other things in the armamentarium, as they say, so many different tools. And we want to find out how you make the determination about which approach is right for each person. What about prescription painkillers? I mean, if you take them, does that mean you're going to become addicted? Can supervised use be effective, especially for older adults? What's the situation there? And what about procedures? Really very interesting new procedure we want to talk about today. So all of these things that we have to ask Dr. Eugene Pereira from Sarasota Memorial Hospital. He's a pain management specialist, but we need to take a quick break. So everybody, please stick around. This is Health Check with Heidi Godman on WSRQ. We'll be right back.